Hare Krishna, dear devotees, here I am sitting in the car on my way to New Brajadam. I arrived from Moscow yesterday evening. It was a very, very wonderful visit. First time I'd been there in 12 years, Hare Krishna, long time. And stayed in a small community outside of Moscow with disciples and traveled into Moscow Temple a couple of times. And that was a very one nice, rewarding experience. And got back last night, and this morning had a few meetings, and now, as you can hear, I'm in the car on my way to New Brajadam for Radha Ashtami. Hopefully, many of you who are listening will be coming, visiting. I know we have guests from, of all places, Australia. I'm saying of all places because of the distance. I actually flew here just for Radha Ashtami. And as usual, many visitors from the UK and, of course, our surrounding countries, Slovenia and so on. And if you haven't come but would like to, well, you still got till tomorrow evening to get here. It starts on Saturday. But today I'd like to talk a little about Radhakund Devi Dasi, who I'd spoken about before, because I'm sure those of you who know her already are aware that she left her body yesterday morning. I was in regular touch with her in the evenings, and I was putting those communications, which later on just ended up being one way, namely from me, readings to her while over the telephone. And I was doing the same in when I was in Moscow. And after everything was said and done, I would phone her up and then talk, read, narrate some of Krishna's pastimes. And I did that night before last. And that was a late night. That was like past midnight for me. And she had been in very, very good spirits all day. She'd been drinking a little apple juice and grape juice mixed. Sometimes they would put some grapes in her mouth and she would then spit them out. And she even, I think, asked to be raised up a little so that she could sit up somewhat. And when I spoke to her in the evening or at night, I spoke about Krishna's pastimes, actually Srimati Radharani's pastimes, and told her what I was doing. Then I told her I'm coming the next day and I'd be there on today, I'd be there on Thursday. And so she even sort of made some gestures to indicate that. But that wasn't to be yesterday morning when I got up. Then I got a text message that her pulse is going down quickly. And before I could even phone back, then I got the message that she'd left. And then I talked with her carers and very, very peacefully, praying free, she left. So I'll, and then I was going to say, so I'll talk a little about her, but let me just finish what else transpired. Devotees there at the farm really had prepared everything. They'd made good contact with authorities, doctor. And so that morning, after they got in touch with her son, he came down. They held a little ceremony for her body. And I'll be posting pictures of this later on. The ceremony that devotees performed, Aarti and Pushpanjali, and of course all the devotees from New Brajadam were there. And by midday, they'd already arranged to have her cremated. Wonderful organization. And so that by evening time they had her ashes, and devotees held another little remembrance there at the place where the at the crematorium. And and so we'll be having her final remembrance, in which we always take to the ashes. Actually, Radhakund will be the first resident of New Rajadham who's left her body and whose ashes we put into the Jamuna, New Rajadham's Jamuna, and that was, of course, her wish. And won't happen today or tomorrow, because for some relatives and many of the devotees who knew her and loved her, they prefer to be able to be there on not a working day. So, of course, Saturday will be Radhashtami, so we'll do it Sunday. And Sunday at 11 o'clock. So that's another incentive for devotees who knew her and want to be there for that. And it'll be at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll start from the temple and go with her ashes down to the Jamuna. And we'll have remembrances there. My suspicion is many devotees will want to talk. And, of course, well, we'll record all of that, although it'll be in Hungarian, but we'll see what translation we can do. And in the meantime, of course, she's somewhere else in Krishna's Leela, or at least entering Krishna's Leela. Now, let me talk a little about Radhakundan. There's so much I could say. And maybe I'll say some more later, because I've known her for 25 years, and she is one of those disciples who I always had lots of opportunity to associate with. Either it was service, due to the nature of the relationship, and then in New Rajadham, because she was also my next door neighbor. So my first time that I remember speaking with Radhakund, although it wasn't the first time we met, that was before we actually even had our first temple, which was devotees may have been there, a little smaller house, a family house, and that was when we were in a rented facility not far away from there on top of a hill. And which must have been in 1989, yes. And it was in the fall, or maybe it may be 1990, I can't remember. Anyway, she asked to speak to me, and I remember speaking to her out in the garden, and it was fall time, so it was cool, and the sun was shining, so whenever the sun's shining, I always like to be there. And at that time, she must have been around 45, 46 years old, so she was older. She had a grown-up son, who I got to meet later. What we talked about, I can't remember, just the picture of that is there. And the impression that she made, because Radhakund always made that wonderful impression on everyone, that she was a very balanced, loving, smiling person with a very beauteous and winning smile. And so we moved in the spring of next year, and then she became a... And I remember more regularly coming, and in and she was working at that time, and we used to have on and off discussions. At that time, the yatra was small, so more or less, my service when I'd go to one of our centers, we didn't even have New Rajadham at that time, was is that I would go there. Give program, morning program, whatever preaching program we'd have, I do. And more or less, I just go through speaking to anyone who wanted to speak to me. That's not so easily done anymore with the size of the yatra. And I remember one telling meeting that we had was that seems like I remember she was taking some kind of mind control course. And when Baladev was still alive at that time, he was the president, he told me. And so we were talking, I talked to Radha Kunda, I said, why are you taking this course on mind control? It's not really mind control, it's, mind. More like brain control is what it was, some type of brain control course. I says, oh, it sort of helps me in my Krishna consciousness and so on. And I asked after, well, what are you doing with all of these things? What do these people say? What did they do? But more or less, it was all some kind of speculative thing from which people were making money. So I told her, listen, Radhakund, mind control, brain control, sense control, whatever you want to control, that you get from Krishna consciousness. And so just drop it and do this. And so she said, okay. And although I could see that she was very attached, but she did that. And the years went on. In 1992, we had our two big festival tournées, 91 and 92. In 92, I gave her the responsibility of taking care of the VIPs. So I asked her, you please take your holidays off for our 3-week festival, and you're in charge of taking care of the VIPs, and that was her service. And then in 1993, when we got the farm, 94 we finished, we started the construction on the temple, and we finished in 96. So of course there were many, many things. I can't remember all of them, but one significant conversation that we were having is I was telling her, listen, Radhakund, you're already 50 years old. Why don't you take early retirement and move down to the farm? Radhisham are going to be installed. You come and serve them. And here you have a really good opportunity for full-time service. Otherwise, if you wait until your real retirement, which will be at 65 years old, which would have been about 4 years ago, then it's going to be too late. So she said, okay, Guru Maharaj, I'll think about it and I'll talk about, I'll meditate on it and talk with my employers. Anyway, about, I don't know, a month before we installed the deities, then Radhakund came to me and she says, okay, I'm going to move in. And she did. And that was a very brave thing to do for a 50-year-old person, used to living outside, used to their own independence. And they didn't have much to move into. They just moved into, Rohini was the head pujari at that time, and she moved in with Rohini and stayed with her. I can't remember, maybe she moved into the Brahmacharini ashram after that. And then when we first started to build little flats, gar zones, as we call them here in Hungary, one-room flats, then she had one of those. And finally, I don't know when, it must have been about 6-7 years ago, she moved right next door to my house. She moved in with Radhakund. That was about 6 years ago, probably. She moved in with Radhakund, where she had her own room, bathroom, and they shared the kitchen. And Radhakund's main service was taking care of Tulsi Devi. After a certain while, which I'll explain when her health situation wouldn't permit it, she could no longer take care of Tulsi. But while she took care of Tulsi, then Tulsi Devi, of course Tulsi Devi is still thriving, but Tulsi Devi just like exploded, because the love and devotion that Radhakund had was, she was extraordinary. She was a very special person. She was a very loving person. She had great love and affection for Radhe Shyam. She had unbelievable devotion for Tulsi Devi, and even more unbelievable, she had unbelievable devotion to her spiritual master. It was something that inspired me to really try and be the spiritual master that she had devotion to. And so she took care of Tulsi Devi. Radhakund was one of the disciples that I could spend time with talking about Krishna consciousness. I taught her how to meditate on Radha Shyamasundar, on serving Radha Shyamasundar, dressing them. Although I don't know if she was ever even on the altar. I taught her how to meditate on dressing Radha Shyam, how to chant more rounds. Later on, as years went on, I gave her some books, particularly some of the things that I wrote, like for instance the commentary on Vilapaka Sumanjali to read. So she was very Krishna conscious, having already sort of gone through life being older. She sort of gone past the grihastha madness, or at least the madness that some grihasthas have to go through in terms of intense attachment and whatever other things that go on in life. And she was really ready to just apply herself to Krishna consciousness. And for that, she was really a shelter for many, many devotees. I could say practically everybody knew Rajadham. Devotees would come to her for counsel with their problems, just for affection. And she would always give. She would always give it. So she was Tulsi Devi's pujari. One day, and these are, I'll tell some of these things about Radhakund. One day she told me while she was in the temple room with the devotees chanting japa that that she had this young girl appear to her. Now, I may be wrong. It may not be during her japa. It may be in a dream. But in any case, she reasoned that that little girl was Tulsi Devi. That was her realization. It was Brinda Devi. And that Brinda Devi sort of made some gestures to her and communicated to her in sort of an unspoken way. So she was very, obviously very elated by these type of transcendental exchanges. Since I'm on this subject of some of her personal dreams and realizations, she had similar when chanting japa, for instance, that she had felt that she had this real darshan of Shyamasundar, and other such visions and dreams. And I trusted that even if some of these may have not been sakshat darshan, direct darshan of the Lord, but they were definitely a spruti or a manifestation of the Lord's presence within her heart and mind. And she lived by these things. It became sort of her custom while Radhakund was in good health to sometimes stay up all night and just chant and just meditate on serving Radhe Shyam, dressing them, making offerings to them, and doing other things like that. And she would tell me about these things. I had told her, I don't know how many years back, but quite some years back, to write diaries and write these things down in a diary. Now those diaries are, I believe, in my room. And so I'm going to go through them and then publish them in Hungarian for the devotees, because I think that they will be very telling and inspiring. I could say more about her other darshans, but maybe when I read through her diary, then I'll get things a little more accurate. Some years back, Radhakant complained about lumps in her breast, and then after consulting some naturopath doctors, I told her she had to go to see Yashomati Nandan, my Hungarian doctor in Budapest. He was very alarmed and immediately sent her to the hospital, and very quickly she was diagnosed that she did have breast cancer. She had to have a mammogram at that time. And since then, she's been on and off with checkups at local hospitals in New Brajadam, near New Brajadam, excuse me. And, well, I'll get back to that. Yes, she was in hospital. After coming out of hospital and after having chemotherapy, which she swore she would never again have, her physical condition was never really quite the same. Whereas she was someone who had unlimited energy, her energy was really very much reduced. And so she would do service, making garlands for the deities. She couldn't do Tulsi Devi anymore. She was librarian for some time. And of course, she always continued to be a shelter for devotees. Radhakund would always come over and do some little service when I was there. Mostly it was when I was doing puja for Radha Damodar, and she would clean up after Radha Damodar's things. And we would talk, and often we would talk about Krishna conscious topics. As I mentioned, she was one of the few devotees that I was able to talk to about Krishna conscious, and she would inquire about advancing in Krishna consciousness. And her inclination was, from her readings and discussions and personal sadhana, to serve Srimati Radharani like her maidservants do. Over the last year, it became clear that there was further spreading of the cancer as it came out to her lungs, to her bones, to her liver. And one thing that she was really determined was she wasn't going to get any more chemotherapy, although she was open to other type of medical treatment. In this year, we spent quite a bit of time talking about how to leave the world, where to leave the world, about my realizations and being in hospital, and both the benefits and the liabilities of hospital care and treatment. And so sometime this summer, then she went up to Budapest to get some further treatment for what was then most troubling her, which was her lung condition and her breathing. She wasn't able to breathe properly. And so she did get some treatment, and she spent a good period of time with her at her son's place. And I would say that that was sort of the last test that Radhakund faced. Two tests. One, was she going to continue trying to get hospital treatment? And the other was whether she was going to stay at her son's. And ultimately, and it was certainly by the, not so much my influence, but by the association of devotees who continued to visit her, talk to her in Budapest, take her prasadam and so on, that she really came to the realization that she was going to come down to New Rotterdam. And so some time before Janmashtami, she moved there, and she then really told her son, who's a devotee. He's not a sadhaka, but I've known him also for 20-odd years. But he's a very nice person. And she told him, this is my home. This is where I want to leave my body. I want to be with the devotees. I want to be with Radhe Shyam. And so in that period of time, while she was there, and must have been, just after Balaram's appearance, because I was there for Balaram's appearance and she was already there. Then we talked, and I would visit her every day, sometimes twice a day. And I said, so what are you thinking? She said, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid of pain. I'm afraid that I'll suffocate to death. And so I said, no, you just depend on Radhe Shyam and have faith that Radhe Shyam will take care of you. And Radhakund was a phenomenally popular person. She was one of those devotees that there isn't a devotee in the yatra who would say a bad word about her or think about her. So she had care not only from devotees in New Rajadam, and of course Sundari Devi Das is there. She's a doctor. But she also had another doctor, a devotee from Pech. She came, and she's with her all this time. And some other devotees also stayed for extended periods of time, not from New Rajadam. Otherwise, she had 24-hour care. And her son recognized that he couldn't give this type of attention and care that she was getting. And of course, the devotees were always there visiting her. So, but she didn't get any pain. And not only our devotee doctors, but also the local doctor, county doctor, who was the one who was legally responsible for her. Everyone was incredulous that someone who had this type of condition with her kidney, with her liver failing, her lungs failing, the cancers being in her bones, she had no pain. She didn't have to take any kind of painkiller, any kind of pain treatment, no medication at all. And I think that also gave her great faith. Radhe Shyam was certainly taking care of her. And then I left. I left for Moscow. And my feeling was, and I mentioned that to Shyam Bihari, that I'm not going to be there when she leaves. I thought that she was going to leave while I was going to be in Moscow. And still we kept in touch, and I was regularly in touch with her carers as well. They would send me updates every few hours. And I have no doubt that wherever Krishna is manifesting his pastimes in the material world, Radhakund has gone there, and she'll be guided by eternal associates how to serve in the way that's suited to her nature and her eternal identity. Upon which she also meditated, yam yam bhapi smaram bhavam, and when she attains perfection in that type of service, she'll be able to do it directly to Radhe Shyam there, and then from there she'll be promoted to the spiritual world, and she'll be there before all of us. So, Radha Kund Devadasi Ki Jai. I could make this podcast a lot longer, but as it is, it's quite lengthy. But I'm sure devotees, whether they, those who knew her, are happy to hear. And I hope that even those who didn't know her sort of get a sense of what a wonderful and extraordinary person she was. I think she's that type of devotee that Srila Prabhupada would be very proud of. And having said that, I need to, because I didn't mention this, that she had extraordinary faith and love for Srila Prabhupada and for Srila Prabhupada's teachings and books. Hare Krishna.